Okay, speaking about Volozhin again, Volozhin Yeshiva, just to say that name, it actually evokes a tremendous argosha, because it was the crown jewel of all the yeshivas. So just mentioning Volozhin, and actually, so all the Bnei Yeshivas, which we have today, basically these are all offshoots, if you will, which really started out with the foundation of the yeshiva in Volozhin. Volozhin attracted the elite of Talmidim, great Balakishran, and those which had the potential to become really great leaders in the Jewish community. To give just an example, you know, Volozhin continued after Reb Chaim Volozhin was nifter, of course, and his son Reb Issel Volozhin, then the Nesiv. The Nesiv also took over as Mamshich. And you have Reb Issel Zalman Meltzer, for example, was a Talmud of Yeshiva Volozhin. Reb Chaim Brisker was a Talmud of Yeshiva Volozhin. Beis Halevi, as a matter of fact, was a big machloikis, and as you know, is not an uncommon situation, but also served at a certain period as being one of the Rosh Yeshivas in Volozhin. Reb Issel Zalman pointed out, and he said that if you had a Talmud, talking about Talmud which is under his 20s, a Talmud under his 20s, he was not a solid Boki, he says, in two complete Siddurim of Noshim and Nezik, and he said, with Bechlal not considered to be one of the Lomdim over there. So the extent of the high level of scholarship that there was. A Talmud, he says, a young Talmud, if he did not master not one Masechta to a complete Seder, complete Siddurim, he said, two Siddurim of Noshim and Nezik, was not considered to be Bechlal. So if he knew a lot, but if he didn't have that extent, to that extent, was not considered among the Lomdim. Yeah, he's a Talmud, but he's not really among the true Lomdim of the yeshiva. Mr. Zalman also said that Roiv of the Bochrim in Volozhin, he said that basically, first of all, they would learn a daf every day. Interesting, which is not to say that, you know, today's yeshivas, so eventually they can fetch on a sugya, and the entire Zaman, they learn like 10, 12 blot. They said in Volozhin, basically, they studied a blot every day, and they learned a Be'iyun. And in addition to that, Sir Rabbi Sazaman, they chazered, they reviewed it 12 times. They reviewed the daf 12 times, a daf every day, and they reviewed it 12 times. Mr. Zalman, he said, bemoaned the fact, he said, that being that I really like to learn more Be'iyun, so I didn't have time really to review it to the 12 times, but on my side, I chazered it 8 times. For 8 times, he also managed to do it. This said Mr. Zalman, to give a little bit of a picture of what the Volozhin is all about. And the fact is, the truth is that Volozhin really was a factory, one can say that, attracted to create Gedol Yisrael. It was a factory to create Gedol Yisrael. Just to give you a who's who. For example, the Mishkan Isyanki. Mishkan Isyanki, one of the great poskim, the great Sfarim, was a Talmud of Volozhin. He was known as Rabbi Yankiv Kaliner. You have the Nachlas David, Rabbi David Tevel of Minsk, the Talmud of Chaim Volozhin, tremendous goyin, the Nachlas David. And then there was another one which we're going to discuss just a little bit. His name was Rabbi Yosef Feimer. Rabbi Yosef Feimer was the Rav in Slutsk. Slutsk later on, Rabbi Zalman was the Rav in Slutsk. However, he said originally going back to the early times in Volozhin was Rabbi Yosef Feimer, who was a Talmud of Rabbi Chaim Volozhin. Going down later, a little bit, in the later Tkufis, who learned the Volozhin, Rabbi Ber. Rabbi learned the Volozhin, going back. But the later Tkufis of Volozhin. You had Rabbi Shemishkop. Shemishkop was a Talmud of Volozhin. And of course, as mentioned, Rabbi Zalman was a Talmud of Volozhin. So we can get a little bit of an idea of what Volozhin was responsible for. And that is really the entire Olam HaYeshiva system of great learning. It stems, all comes, Talmidim, tracing it back all to Volozhin. Reb Chaim Volozhin always tried to teach his Talmidim the Cheshivas of Torah. As you go through the Svarim, Nefesh HaChaim, Ruach HaChaim, there's nothing greater than Limud HaTorah, clearly. And the point is not simply because it's a great mitzvah, about it's a great mitzvah, Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, but Reb Chaim always stresses that, and as he pointed out also a number of times, is the Tanya and Reb Chaim Volozhin, right, they meet very, very often. Mamish, they come together at the same point. Reb Chaim Volozhin had a tremendous bekiyas, as you see through the Svarim in Torah Sanhedrin, all time of the Goyin. It was a greater Baki, you know, in Zohar HaKodesh and in Chelik HaNistar of Torah than the Goyin. And Reb Chaim Volozhin was a true Talmud of the Goyin, and he followed those footsteps that had the same, similar type of ideas. And Chaim points out that for a person in his Torah is actually the Torah is HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. You're not just learning Chochmas Hashem, but the Torah is actually HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah is, at the Losh of the Tanya, it's Atzmuso Yisbarach. It's actually Kibyochel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kibyochel is in the Torah. And therefore, there's no medium, any mitzvah in the world that you might want to do that you could connect, you could actually embrace HaKadosh Baruch Hu as with the Torah. Because when you're learning Torah, you're embracing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because the Torah, HaKadosh and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's Mamish one. As a matter of fact, it should not be such a chiddush because the Gemara says in Sefer Shabbos, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha is a Rosh HaTevis. By the way, people think Gematrius is a Hasidic Shazach. The Gemara is full of Gematrius. And the Gemara tells us Rosh HaTevis also. So, Anoichi is Rosh HaTevis. Watch the Gemara. Aleph Nun Chof Yud. Ano Nafshi Ksovis Yehovis. What does that mean? Ano Nafshi Kosh Baruch Hu is I put my nefesh into the writing of the Torah. Again, Anoichi. Ano Nafshi, I, my nefesh, Ksovis Yehovis. In the writing, I put my nefesh. Which means clearly Chazal already telling us that. That Kosh Baruch Hu is in the Torah. So if you're looking for Kosh Baruch Hu, you're going to find him in the Torah. Because the Torah of Kosh Baruch Hu is one. And the Rebbe Chaim points out, if that's the case, so the Satan, the most that he's threatened by, Satan tries always to be Mavro Yid, right, to have a Yid stray away from the Derech HaYosher, but the most that the Satan is worried and he tries is to get a Yid to be Mavatla from Torah. Which means to say that the Satan, as Rebbe Chaim of Asman pointed out, B'Shem the Chofetz Chaim, and it's in print, Rebbe Chaim of Asman, it's time to say, the Yetzirah is maskim daven all day, you hear that? He's masking, he says, give tzedakah all day, abiz also shlan, you shouldn't learn. There's nothing that threatens the Satan, he says, as when you learn Torah. And, Chofetz Chaim pointed out, which the Bechon also repeated, but you know that the Yisar Shalesov, right, the Malach, the Yisar Shalesov, which is the Satan, came by Yovik Yishima, the Ois HaShachar, he came and attacked Yaakov Avinu, and they wrestled and they had the confrontation by Yovik Yishima. The Satan comes and attacks Yaakov Avinu, and this was, by the way, this Mochama still be a Samashiach. Basically, this is the Mochama between Kedusha and Tumah. This is a Mochama between good and evil. And that's a Shtendig Mochama. Yaakov Avinu was victorious then, but the Yetzirah doesn't stop. He stops again. You know, he's down, but he gets up again. He rearms himself, if you will, and so on and so forth. And by the way, he digs a lot of different tunnels, you know, because he finds different ways how to get to you. So this is the Satan. So the question is, the Chofetz Chaim asked, Yaakov Avinu was the third of the Yavois. Why didn't he attack Avraham Avinu? Why didn't he attack Yitzchak Avinu? Why is he waiting for Yaakov Avinu? The Sar Shalef is a Malach, he had opportunity, Avraham Avinu was a great tzaddik, Yitzchak certainly, they all were great tzaddikim. Why is he attacking Yaakov Avinu? So what did the Chofetz Chaim say? Avraham Avinu's middle was chesed. The Satan came b'shtay and do chesed. Okay, it's a shifalach. He can go on with his life, you know, if he can do chesed. He can tolerate you doing chesed. Yitzchak Avinu was avoida. He said, it was avoid. It was an oil of Tamimo, Tefillah, so on. The Satan can tolerate Tefillah. Yaakov was Torah. Yaakov in the middle of Emes, Titan Emes, Yaakov, Yaakov, Yishtam, Yoshev, Yeholim, he sits and he learns. That's what the Satan cannot tolerate. So Chaim went on to say, so far, that the Yetzirah, with all of his tachbulas, everything that he does, it's kedai for him to do anything and to overturn worlds, to be mevatel, a great student, to see that he does not reach his potential. Do anything possible. So to give you just a Baisa Shehoi that was, we mentioned before, one of the great Talmidim of the Lodge we mentioned was Rabbi Yosef Feimer, who became the Rav of Slutsk. One of the great Talmidim of Chaim Volozhin. Yosef Feiner, Rabbi Isai, was born in 1796. At the age of 32, becomes Rav in Slutsk. Age of 32, and he's there for 35 years until he passes away. 35 years he was Rav in Slutsk. As we said, Megdoyla Talmidim, one of the great Talmidim of Rav Chaim Volozhin. when he was, as we say, one of the Choshev Paiskim, you know, of the sort of our previous generation, were left over with the Sridi Yesh, Bechir Yankov Weinberg, with the Rosh Rabbanim of Berlin. He writes there, very interesting, he said, regarding the Gevaldige Midas Emes, the Sefer Sridi Yesh, he writes it, is Nechelik Dalet. He has a session called Tunus Hamuser. So he writes with the Gevaldige Midas Emes, he writes with Yosef Feimer, he said that he used to say that the truth is that Emes, that person talking with Emes, basically, he's able, or he might be forced to go around the world, to travel around the world. And he said, the reason is, he says, because it's such an olam hasheker that wherever you go and you come with this chayav of emes, they throw you away. They throw you out because they don't want emes. So you're going to go to a different place. Come to a different place, it's the end. It's the oil mashaker. So they push you to the... You might as well go around the world with your schayim. Nobody wants it. So you'll be traveling to travel around the world to try to find, you know, where you can find the yeshivas and midas emes. But the point here, this really actually points out is the following. That when he became, just before he accepted the position of becoming the Rav in Slutsk, he was going past, arriving at Slutsk, for the very first time arriving in Slutsk, there was a neighboring town, very close. A small town. The town was called Kafulia. It's called Kafulia. So as he was passing through the town, the street age writes this, as he was passing through the town of Kafulia, he happens to hear a Kol Torah in the Bis Medrash. Passing a Bis Medrash. And with his keen ear, he was listening, and he heard one of the Talmidim in the Bis Medrash saying over a tremendous Chiddush, which really piqued his interest to find out who says this Chiddush. The Sridi Eish writes that he went on and inquired who said this Chiddush, and he said it's the Mordor Asr of the town. The Chiddush from the Mordor Asr of the town of Kafulia. When he heard that, so Rabbi Yosef Feimer said, all of a sudden, I'm resigning, I'm not accepting my position of Rav in Slutsk. Why? Because right next to Slutsk there's another Mordor much greater than me, who can say such Gevaldig Chiddushim. He deserves to be Rav of a great town, not a little town like Kafulia. So he didn't want to accept it until he found out that the Mordasa was Nifter already, quite a while ago. So Mele is not able to give over this Rabbanis, he says, to the Mordasa of Kafulia, because he's not alive anymore. But otherwise he would not accept it. He said, this man is greater than me, he said. This man is greater than me. Look at the great Chiddushim that he said. And he's right next to Slutsk. He should have a Din Kedima to be brought into the town of Slutsk. The interesting thing about his bekiyas that he had, even if you said in Gedol Achreinim, it was a Maisa Shoya that when he arrived in Slutsk, it turned out that the first night when they started began to say the same Talumotor, December 5th or so, you know, as those are the usual dates, they started their first night. So someone came over to him. So somebody, there was different opinions. If you forgot to say the same Talamotar, the halacha is if you forget to say Santo, you have to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei. That's the halacha. If you forget to say the same Talamotar, you have to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei. So somebody came and brought different opinions regarding it. That some say, the halacha you have to, but there's lemaitis machloikes in their opinions. You don't have to, opinions you do have to. So so someone came over to him and he said, so the Rav said to him that the Pichodosh Paskins, Yosef Feimer said, the Pichodosh Paskins, that on the first night though, the first night you don't have to repeat it. It's only past the first night when you get really into the season. But the first night when you begin to say the same Talamot, it's like the introduction. Pichodosh Paskins, the first night if you forget, same time you don't have to repeat it. It's only subsequently. This is what Rabbi Yosef Feimer said, the name of the Pichodosh. And Lemaise, one of the Lomdim say that this psak is mentioned. The Ipsak said is mentioned also in the Sefer Knesset Yecheskel. Sefer Knesset Yecheskel with Yecheskel Katzenelnbogen, who is the Rav in the triple community of Hamburg, Altona, right, and Wandsbek. These are three communities, which, by the way, after him, he was succeeded by Rabbi Yonis and Ipshis. After Knesset Yecheskel was Nifter, he was succeeded by Rabbi Yonis and Ipshis. They're a great poisek. All the intricate halachas in Kaddish, like when you have different people, different chiyuvim, who has it in Kedima? You know, Shloshim versus somebody who is Yud Beis Chodesh, who's in the year, Shloshim has it in Kedima, some in the Shivas even earlier, so on and so forth. All the various halachas, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Knesset Yecheskel. When he talks about the halachas of Kaddish, he brings it down from the Knesset Yecheskel. So this person said that this psak is mentioned in the Knesset Yecheskel that the first night you don't have to. So Yosef Feimer said there's no such psak in the Knesset Yecheskel. So he said, okay, let's bring a Knesset Yecheskel. So, he goes page after page, page after page. So finally, they find at the end of the Sefer. So Yosef Feimer said, guess what? This, he says, is not part of the Mechaber Knesset. It was added to the Sefer, but it's not part of the original Sefer. Really? So then they found an earlier edition, and then they saw that Bechlas not even there. There was something that was added later. Just to show the idea of the cloakite that he had. So it's good to mention, we mentioned the great Goyim, like the Nachlas David, who's a Talmud of Rav Chaim Volozhin. To show the Cheshivas that he had, Rabbi Yosef Feimer of Slutsk, I'm making that Gomer of Yosef Feimer, I want to tell you the main point. So, the Nachlas David, by the way, was someone who is not afraid to voice his opinion even against Rishonim. I believe I once mentioned, it was bothering me very much when learning a yeshiva. I'm talking about in the 60s. in the early 60s. So it was Lo Misakta Bal Mitzir. And that time, the Sefer Nachas David is a very, very choshev sefer from the David Tevla Minsk, Talmud of B'chaim Volozhin. The Sugya of Heilich there. On Dav Dalet, he brings the whole pshat in the Gemara, he brings the B'shem Reb Chaim Volozhin from his Rebbe. And everywhere when he discusses and he has questions on a Tosfos, he does not hold back. He has no qualms to express himself in a way that, growing up, always knowing that an Achron does not allow himself, to speak, or have to be very careful how you write about a Rishon. And if you don't understand a Rishon, what you do is you bend your head and you say, it's my problem. Right? The Rishon is always right. But he didn't have that problem. He would say, Toises himself understands it's a doichik. This is what he says. He says, it's a big doichik. And Toises don't know it's a doichik. This kind of a lashoinus he had. And if he goes on to say zompshat. But when it came to describe his chaver in yeshiva, the chaver in yeshiva, Rabbi Yosef Feimer, he writes, I pass in the halacha, I want you to know, this is the Chuvis Nachlis Dovet Simchotei. I want you to know, whatever I said is lahaloche, but not lamaise. I will not tell you to actually do it. Loi malani libi lahokal, I don't have the courage to be mekel. Im loi shi askim ulozet, unless I get this coming from another two great rabbonim. From the Sati Einai, particularly, I'm focused on Hagoyin Rabbi Yosef Abbez and Slusk. It was his haskoma that he wanted. Rabbi Chaim Brisker mentioned that when he was 5 years old, the first time he saw Rabbi Yosef Feimer, he had such a hard respondent, he says, that clearly he was awestruck. Pushed awestruck of the hard respondent of the Kiddusha on the face of Rabbi Yosef Feimer. I want to show you just one more thing about his tremendous anivus. It turned out that once he was very sick, literally very, very sick, and many, many weeks he spent in his house. He couldn't go out of the house. Finally, when he was feeling better, he wanted to go to shul for the first time, and there was a yid, how should I tell it, a yid who was literally had a mental problem. He was known as Rabbi Yomin from Kafulia, from the town of Kafulia. And, you wouldn't want to meet him because he always made certain comments, and it was not normal comments. And he had no problem commenting on the Rav. You know what the Gemara says about Abaye was the Talmud of Rabbi Yosef? What does the Gemara say? What happened to Rabbi Yosef? Rabbi Yosef was a Zoken Shochach Talmudai. Rabbi Yosef, because he became... right? He became old, he got sick, he forgot his learning. And therefore the Gemara says many times, Abaye, when Rabbi Yosef say, remember Abaye, so what do you mean? You yourself taught us in the past not like that. Rabbi Yosef forgot, and Abaye had to remind him. So the Gemara says Rabbi Yosef was a Zokin, right? She shochach talmidoi. Rabbi Yosef chola, the shochach talmidoi. Rabbi Yosef, fine, his name was Yosef. And here he was sick. So this mentally person, he sees Rabbi Yosef, oh Rabbi Yosef, you are those that chol of a shochach talmud, you probably forgot all your learning while you were sick. So normally you dismiss it, big deal, who's this guy saying it? He's not a normal guy. He was concerned, why? Because he quoted the Gemara. Because the Gemara tells us, B'yoyim shechor beis amigdosh, Nitla nevua min hanavim. We no longer have nevua. V'nitla l'shoytim. Shoytim say without knowing it, but they're like, somebody say the right thing. So he says, this shoyta over here, he's saying something. Maybe this is like a nevua that he's saying something that's true. So he was worried. Maybe it's not true. Maybe it's not throughout the course of my illness, I forgot my learning. Know what he did? He called a famous Godel who lived in town. His name was Tzvi Hirsch Chayfetz, and he said, I want you to verhear me gun shots to see if I still remember it. He passed the Bechina. This is an Adam Godel, a Mulligan Titan. Rabbi Yosef Feimer, the Rav of Slutsk. Anyway, why am I mentioning this? I'm mentioning it because this Maisa, it's hard to believe. It's hard to believe Rabbi Bar substantiated this Maisa. The mice that happened was with Rabbi Yosef Feimer when he was a bocher. As mentioned, the Rabbi Chaim would say the Sotan is more threatened, more than anything is threatened. Limit HaTorah, that's what's threatening him. The mice showed was the following, that Rabbi Yosef Feimer, who was really, he was the outstanding bocher of the yeshiva, he's one of the Talmidim, really was outstanding. Turns out that he already was a Yosef, now his father died. He was a tremendous Baal Kishrin, and he was, as we said, he was one of the pillars of the yeshiva, and he receives a letter from his mother. You have to come home. After all, he says, I'm alone, I'm an almona, and the children, I can't manage, I need you to come home. When the Maisa goes, Rabbi Chaim did not give him the letter. Rabbi Chaim did not give the letter to Rabbi Yosef. He wanted to remain staying learning yeshiva. It's interesting. even though it was his mother calling, look, I need help. He didn't. Turns out that again, his second letter came again, please come home, I need you. And Rechaim Bechlal did not let him know. He did not give him over the letter. Did not give him the letter. And he continued to learn with his great Asimod and so on and so forth. Then comes a third letter from the mother, says, a terrible tragedy happened in the entire town. In those days, houses, many of them, you know, first of all, they were built out of wood, and also many of them were together. So I mean, if it was a sreifa in one house, it just went from house to house. Didn't take much for a whole town to burn down. So she said, mamish, the whole town burned down. Till now, I was able to get the help of my shechenim, she said. But now that the whole town burned down, they have their own troubles. There's nobody, mamish, to help me. Please come home. So now, Reb Chaim went, and he gave him all three letters. And all of a sudden, you know, it's enough to get one letter at a time spaced out to hear that his mother's pleading. Now, basically, he sees all the three letters of his mother, mamish, at one time. He gets all the three letters. So he swallows. He had to swallow all the besuras, royas that fell on his lap, mamish, all at once. And he says, Rebbe, please explain to me. When the first letter came, you didn't tell me because you wanted me to stay learning. You didn't want to break my learning. Second letter came, you still didn't tell me. Why by the third letter? Reb Chaim said to him, I wanted to know that the cheshivas of your Torah is so chashiv in Shemayim that it's kedai for the sultan to burn down the whole town of Bidiz Osn Shlenen. That's what Reb Chaim said. It's a half of a filler. Again, to show how far. The sultan has no problem of burning down the whole town in order to have this Talmud should be a sibah that he should stop learning. And Reb Ber said that he knows this Meiser. He said, the Loshi says, Yidua Masha Omar Rabbeinu Hagoyin Huamiti Achosin, Rabban Shekol Bnei Hagoyin. Reb Ber wrote tremendous titles, Sign of Chaim Brisker, and Sign of Chaim Velozhin. He says, Shebekoicho Shela Yitzahora, Lahalois Ir Shalema Al Moiker Asreifo. Yitzahora has the ability to take a whole town, right, and burn it to crisp. Bishvil Levatel Echod Min HaMitzuyonim Min HaTorah. To be mevatel one person. In order, the sultan will stop at nothing to tear away a mitzuyin for Torah. So this again, this is another incident we saw in the Habotzah Satorah of Reb Chaim Velozhin. Alright, so we go here to the Ruach Chaim. Your additions, it's in Daf Chov Beis. It's on top of the page. On Daf Chov Beis, that's what we're up to. If you stop right there. On Daf Chov Beis. Reb Chaim made a judgment over there. He said the gavels of Moshe Rabbeinu stemmed from his koich of Anova, the koich of his anivis. The koich of his anivis brought out the gavels of Moshe Rabbeinu being greater than all. And Reb Chaim said a lashon. I'll just repeat the lashon we had last week. The iluhoya achshav odom onov kemoshe. Had we had a person today who is an onov like Moshe, hoya vaday zoich l'toyer bishleimus. So says Reb Chaim. So mamish, if a person would really have this exorbitant, this extreme middle of anivis, a person would be zayich similar to Moshe Rabbeinu. Half of the sources of Reb Chaim. That's the story of Reb Chaim. And he goes on to bring rayas, that is the shayrish of anova, that gives a person a kinyan atayrib. That gives a person a tremendous kinyan atayrib. So he goes on further. Well, if you rayv anova shal Moshe Rabbeinu all of asholim, and based upon the tremendous amount of anova, the great middle of anova that Moshe Rabbeinu had, Omer Olov, that's why the Gemara says in Bava Basra, Penei Moshe ki Penei Chamo, the face of Moshe Rabbeinu was like the face of the sun, Penei Yeshua ki Penei Levono. What the Gemara there is referring to, of course, when Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, was Nifter. So who took over? Yeshua was the Malamokim. Yeshua succeeded him. However, the Zikainim means the new generation who didn't know Moshe Rabbeinu, Yeshua was a great man. Yeshua was another great man. But the Zekeinim Shebedor, but the old people, the elderly people, they still remembered Moshe Rabbeinu, and now they saw the transition. Now as a transition to Yeshua, they recognize that Yeshua, as great as he is, he's not Moshe. So how did they describe the difference? He said, Pnei Moshe, the face of Moshe, is like the Pnei Chava, like the sun. And Yeshua, the face was like the Levon, like the moon. And we know, of course, the light of the moon, right, is much less than the light of the sun. And there's many perushim, by the way, dafke to this metaphor. Moshe is like the sun, Pnei Moshe ki Pnei Chamo, and Yeshua ki Pnei Levona. Reb Chaim gives his own pshat, right, in this dimion, comparing Moshe Rabbeinu to the sun, and Yeshua to the Levona, in a particular Nekuda. There's a particular aspect, we look at the sun and the Levona, and it says the following. The difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshua. Moshe Rabbeinu is like the sun, and Yeshua is like the Levona. Ki Yeshua Omar LaMoshe. We find that Yeshua says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Eldad Umeidad Misnabim Bamachne. We find that Yeshua came to complain because Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, was the greatest Navi, and all the Navim, so to speak, were a takeoff of Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, they drew on the spirit of Moshe Rabbeinu. They were Mekabel from Moshe, they became the Nevi'im as being Mekabel from Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeshua said there are two people who are trying to give the impression they're as great as Moshe, and they are coming indiscriminately, they're saying the word, they're prophesizing, as if they are independent Nevi'im. They don't need Moshe Rabbeinu, they don't need the Ashpoh of Moshe, they are, so to speak, like equal to Moshe. Again, Ki Yeshua Omar Moshe, they are two people, Eldad Umeidad. These are two people, Misnabim Bamachne, they are giving the word, right, in the Machne, Ki Ilu Einam Srichim La'atzilus Moshe Rabbeinu, all of Asholem. They're giving the impression that they don't need the Ashpoh of Moshe, like Doimim Loi V'nisnabu V'nei'atzmoi. They want to give the impression, so Yeshua is very bothered. Shouldn't they bother that here we are people, so to speak, like they're undermining, if you will, the godless of Moshe. They undermine the God of Moshe. Why? Because they give the impression that they're the same. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't bothered at all. It bothered Yeshua, but Moshe Rabbeinu was not bothered. What did Moshe answer? As we'll soon see. He says, goes on, Reb Chaim, he points out, Yeshua Sobar, what were the two opinions? Moshe Rabbeinu's opinion versus Yeshua, right? How do you explain the two tzedodim? Says the Poshet. We find a similar situation. The Yeshua Sobar, Yeshua was of the opinion, they said, he efshel abeiz malochim, shishtamshu bekeser echod, ki kitrik halavono, ki yedua bemesach tzchul daf samachom beiz. Everybody remembers when Kodesh Baruch Hu Gitchila. Kodesh Baruch Hu created the shnei moiris hagdolim. Gitchila, the sun and the moon were the same size. They were both equal. Shnei Moiris Hagdoyim, the two great luminaries, because Baruch Hu created both. So what does the Gemara tell us in Chulin? And Rashi brings it also. That the Levonim came with the Taina. What do you mean two equals? You have to Shnei Malachim, you can't have two kings wearing the same crown. That'd be one king. What Levonim meant is, I should be king, and the Levonim, you know, should be smaller. So Kodesh Baruch Hu said, you're right. You can't have two kings, you become smaller. You become smaller. You spoke up, you become smaller. But you realize, when the Levonim spoke up, if it's not possible to have two kings wearing one crown, the sun did not protest. The sun did not protest. It accepted the criticism. Let it be what it be. It's Levona who was makpid that she wanted to be greater. The Levona wanted to be greater. And the Chama of the sun, Bechlal, did not protest at what the Levona said. So again, Yeshua was on the same opinion. You can't have two kings. Like the Levona complained. Right? So wait a minute. So therefore Yeshua is saying, how can you have Eldad Umeidad, right, prophesizing independently? You can't have Shnei Melochim. Moshe Rabbeinu is the Melech. He's the leader. He's the highest Navi. You can't have Shnei Melochim. You can't have others posing as equals. So Moshe Rabbeinu took the position of the Levona. Yeshua took the position of the Levona. Yefshe Shnei Melochim. Right? So in Mele he says, Lachain Pnei Yeshua ke Pnei Levona. So Reb Chaim, that's what the Gemara means, that the face of Yeshua is like the Levona. Why? Because the same way that the Levona came with the time that you can't have Shnei Melochim Bekeser Echod, so too Yeshua came with, you can't have two sets of Nevi'im, right, being on the same footing. You have to have one which is higher, and that is Moshe Rabbeinu, of course. On the other hand, Moshe Shosak. Moshe kept quiet, Kemoya Chamo. Moshe kept quiet, just like the sun was quiet at the time. So Omro, she did not say, right? The Chama did not say, Yefshel Beis Malachim. The Chama didn't have any problem. Lachain Omro. And therefore, Chazal told us, Pnei Moshe, Pnei Chamo. The Chazal told that the face of Moshe is like the sun. Shloi Hikpid. That is the marshal that Moshe is like the sun. The sun didn't have Hakpoda, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have Hakpoda. Again, underscoring the theme that Reb Chaim is building it again, is pulling the thread that Moshe Rabbeinu is the godless, again, everything about him was anova. And that really is the kavana, Pnei Moshe Pnei Chamo, the great mid of anova that he had, that he was not makpid. Another indication towards the mid anova of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Yoma, instead, what did Moshe Rabbeinu say? Moshe Rabbeinu says over there by Midbar Yudalef, Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Umiyiten kol am Hashem neviim, Adrabe, let all the people be neviim. Ki yiten Hashem es ruchoi. Ruchoi means she yiten Hashem ba'atzmo es ruchoi aleim. Please talk with me. Adrabe, let them all be independent. Like Rebbe, make them neviim without having to come and draw from me." They can be independent. Let them all be Navim. Who says I have to be the only Navi? Let them all be the same way. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. That is the Anova. Says now Reb Chaim or Bazoi, that being that the full indication is the great mile of Anova, but lakach nitna atoyre loy b'matono. That's why the Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu b'matono. What does it mean the Torah was given b'matono? You know what it means? Very fascinating. The Gemara says in the Dorim, "Bitchilo hayemoshe loyme toyre umishacho." Hear that? Moshe Rabbeinu was in Shemayim for 40 days and 40 nights. He was learning Torah. And Chazal are telling us, he would forget. At the end of the 40 days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah b'matona. The meaning matona means that you don't forget. It's a matona. So Reb Chaim says, why was Moshe Rabbeinu zoichet that the Torah was given b'matona? That he shouldn't forget. Says Reb Chaim the following. Again, the Gemara says in the Dorim, b'techiloi Moshe loim haTorah mishakcho. Beginning Moshe Rabbeinu would learn Torah and he would forget it. Until the Torah was given b'matona. Ukamashon Chazal be'erivin. Chazal said himself to Zerivin. On the pasuk in Parshas Chukas, it says like this. It says, umemidbar matono. Now, Parshas Pshat means is, the Torah was given b'matona in the midbar. Har Sinai is in the midbar. But Chazal say, it goes deeper than that. Ubemidbar matono. Only if you are like a midbar, you yourself, you live your life like a midbar, then the Torah is a matona. What is the characteristic of a midbar? A midbar is a mokim hefker. Everybody has reshus to go there. Everybody steps on it. Everybody tramples over it. And the midbar doesn't complain, of course. Umi midbar, if you are like a midbar, that you're making yourself hefker, and you don't have hakpoda and so on, then matono. Says Reb Chaim, this is a Gemara Neirin, Daf Nun Dalet, the words of Umi midbar matono. Imesim or the matzim like a midbar. How? Shehakel doshin boy. Everybody tramples and steps on it. Vein amakpit klaro kevoidoi, hatoire nitna loy b'matono. So again, Reb Chaim again develops. Moshe Rabbeinu was zoiche, that he did not have shikhas hatoire. Why? Because he was a nonov. He was like a midbar. So again, the quality of Anova, the gain, what the person gained by the mid of Anova. Why? Because he was not makpid at all of this covet. The Nitloi Torah was given to him. You know, he exactly fitted the description of midbar matona. If you conduct yourself like a midbar, the matona, take him matona. What Moshe Rabbeinu did. No one more than Moshe Rabbeinu conducted himself like a midbar. His attitude was like a midbar. Hakil doshin olav. Everybody can step on him. Everybody can trample on him. And he's not makbid? Matona. That's the sibah that Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah matona. We don't find any place. Shehuza Moshe Mishem Mizbarach. For example, on Torah. We don't find any place that Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, keep studying Torah, keep learning Torah. We don't find any place. By Yeshua, we do find. By Yeshua, we find that Hashem keeps warning and mentions Pesukim regarding Limud HaTorah. By Yeshua, we find it. How do you find it? Well, open up the first chapter in Yeshua. Yeshua Aleph, famous Pesukim. We all know this Pesukim. Nobody knows, I guess, that it's in Yeshua. But this pasuk, Lo Yomush VeGoymer. The pasuk reads, Yomush Sefer HaTorah Zemipicho. That's the pasuk. The Torah says in Yeshua, Yomush Sefer HaTorah Zemipicho. The Torah shall not depart from your mouth. In other words, Yeshua is being warned from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make sure that the Torah is kept learning. What else does it say there? That's a pasuk in Yeshua also. V'higiso b'yom v'layla. Everybody knows the pasuk. It's a pasuk in Yeshua. V'higiso b'yom v'layla shall continuously study Torah day and night. Right? And, as a matter of fact, this warning is not to be taken lightly. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that a yid should be learning Torah, it should not be taken lightly. Why? Because the Gemara brings a moshel, Masechtas Menachos. There's a moshel, Moshel and Moshe, it's Tzipper D'Roi L'Yavdoi. A Tzipper D'Roi happens to be very choshev, well, let's say modern terms, let's speak about it. Someone happened to secure for himself an exotic bird, a very rare bird. Right? He's a wealthy man, he can afford it. He buys himself an exotic bird, a very rare bird. So he gives it over to his Eved. Right? For keeping the Eved. Now he gives the Eved. He basically charges the Eved that he should take care of the bird. Now what happens if the Eved loses the bird? So the master comes to the Eved and says, You think that the most that I will claim is the value of the bird. He said, I'll kill you. He said, why? I can't replace it. This is the marshal. The marshal. A marshal for someone who happened to buy a very rare, expensive bird. And he gives that bird over to his eved. And he said to the eved, guard it with your life. With your life. Double line. In other words, if something happens to the bird, it's not that I need your money to pay for it. The eved b'chal can't pay for it. Either. But it's not the money that I want from you. Because he said, because it's going to cost your life. The money will not be able to buy another one. So what's the nimshal? That's the marshal. Same thing in Torah Kedoshim. The same way that it's difficult to acquire a rare bird, it's difficult to acquire Torah. Well, you know why? Because you have to toil. Amelus b'toyre, yegi b'toyre. And if you lose it, it could cost you your life. It could cost you your life. That's the mamish, the marshal that the Gemara gives. The Torah comparing to the rare bird. Let's see it inside. Marshal and Moshe Sipra Deroyer. This exotic bird. This is a very expensive rare bird. La'avdoi. Omaloi. So the master says to the Evid, you think that if you lose the bird, all I want is payment. That's what you think. Kimedumaloch. Kimedumaloch means you imagine. You imagine, Iser ani noitel mimcho bedomer. I'm going to take a coin from you. No, nishmoscha ninoitel mimcha. Your neshama I'm going to take away from you. Kacha Torah. So to the Torah Kedoshim. The Pasuk says, in Mishle, the Pasuk says like this, Hasoif einecho v'goyim. This is the whole Pasuk. The Pasuk says there, Hasoif einecho boi v'enenu. If you blink away, v'enenu is not here anymore. And you blink away, you must see a dasam toy, very easy to lose. Very easy to lose. Hasoif enecho boy. The Velt says over a Meir Simcha, that the Yor Sameach, sitting and learning, and a Yid comes in, and he said to Meir Simcha, I mamish of Machadish, a tremendous Chiddish. Tremendous Chiddish, and he's talking very, very good Chiddish. And Meir Simcha says, well, I want to show you something. And in order to show him to this Yid, who said that Chiddish, you can imagine you have a large storm shrunk, you know, it goes all the way to the top, and you have a ladder. So Meir Simcha had to climb up to the top of the ladder to take out a specific safer, have them in the top shelf. You had to climb up the ladder. But in those days, you didn't have Gemaras like today, you know, all different shapes and sizes. You didn't have the pocket edition, you know. It had to be the big Vilna Shas, you know, it's at least, you know, 2 feet long. And a heavy Gemara. So Meir Simcha stopped learning, obviously, because he was speaking to this Yid, and now he has to go take that safer. What he does is, he closes the Gemara, but keeps his finger. He keeps his finger between the two halves of the Gemara, and holds that heavy Gemara in one hand, and climbs up the ladder to take out the Sefer. And what does he show him? He shows on the margin of the Sefer that he, Meir Simcha, wrote that Chiddush already. So he says, fine, Rebbe, Gevaldik. I'm so happy as Macham Tzio Chiddush. But Rebbe explained to me, why when you climbed up together, why didn't you leave the Gemara where it is? So he quoted the Pasuk in Mishlei. Hasoif enecho boy. If you blink away, I want to keep the Gemara always attached to me. I don't want to separate myself from it. Because you never know, he says, it's very easy to lose. Hasoif enecho boy. You just blink away and you might lose it. So he climbs up the heavy ladder with the heavy Gemara holding in his hand, keeping his finger, it shouldn't close altogether. Akoponim. The Torah Kedoshim, like it's difficult to buy the rare bird, the Torah Kedoshim kosher l'kedoshim get klipos. Just like it's very difficult, klipos. Poz is extra fine gold. Rare. It's not stam gold. It's poz. Poz is fine gold. Just like it's difficult to buy a kli of fine gold, but v'noyach l'abdon ki kli zchuchis. There's nothing easier that can break the glass. The Torah Kedoshim, to acquire it, is as difficult as to acquire fine gold. To lose it is as easy as breaking a glass. So, it's two negatives. It's hard to find and easy to lose. Hard to find, hard to acquire it, easy to lose. And if you lose your Torah, like the marshal, if you lose that bird, it's the neshama, he said. That one, it's going to cost you your neshama. If you lose the Torah, it's your nefesh. All the serious l'shoyni that a person should keep learning. And Gemara says, it's into your life. It's going to cost you your life. So I'm going to come like this. So Moshe Rabbeinu was the only one who had this gula that the Torah was given really by matana that he doesn't forget. Yeshua, on the other hand, did not have that matana. And Yeshua, therefore, has to be warned. Keep learning. In other words, make sure that you do everything not. So Rabbi Chaim says, that's the difference. Moshe kibbutz Torah, you see, I remember going back to the old question. Finally, we're coming to an answer. That's answer number two. The question was again, Moshe was Mekabel the Torah, but Yeshua doesn't say Yeshua was Mekabel, Moshe gave it over. When you give over something, you give over it with instructions. You received it, the emphasis is on the receiving by Moshe. Moshe did not have to be given, you know, a set of rules. You know, when you buy a toaster, you find it's a book of instructions, you know. Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah, he didn't have to be given any instructions. The Torah was his bematana. But Yeshua is given the Torah now. Besara, Moshe gave it over to him. When you give it over to him, he gave it over to him with all the details, with all the instructions. Be careful. Be careful to guard it. Be careful not to forget. Be careful to keep learning. Be careful not to miss the Adas. Besara li Yeshua, ki inyan like Shemosat Sipadror. It's a takeoff on the Moshel. Because the Moshel used the Lashon also. You see, about Moshel, le Moshe Sipadror. Le Moshe, when he gave over the exotic bird to the Eved, he gave over with detailed instructions. The Sarah of Yeshua is from Lashon, like by the board that was given over. Moshe gave it over. Bahazor Canal. Yeshua does not have this luxury that the Torah is always going to remain, that he's not going to forget. Moshe, because of his great Anivis again, so he had that Sus. So let's go over, Moshe, let's take a look. Take a look at the sheet now. And the sheet is Nishmas we have here, the sheet dedicated here to Isha Yocheved Bas Rav Shlomo Zalman Olei HaSholem, dedicated, as we see here. It's actually the whole shiur is dedicated. Okay, we want to show you something very fascinating, and I can tell you it's worth $1 million. I don't always say this. If you say a million, you might say $2 million already. What's $1 million already? $2 million. All right. It goes on the line that Rav Chaim said in Rav Chaim, let's see on top here. The line that we had, he said that Nitna Torah loy b'matona. Reb Chaim said that the Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu b'matona, as it says in Masechet Nedarim, b'tchiloy Moshe loy b'torah mishakcho. Beginning, Moshe Rabbeinu told the Torah to forget it, achenit loy b'matona, until the Torah was given b'matona. Okay, here we have there at the end of Masechet Brachot the Tzlach. The Tzlach, of course, did not debut it. Poisek Ador, the greatest gedolim of all time. The debut was Nifter in 1793, by the way. In Prague, his cave was there. The Tumat Sev is there. His wife was Nifter before him. His wife's name was Liba. And the Rebbe writes in a number of Chuvis that after his wife passed away, and it was too soon, he said, it took him a lot of time, he said, to get Yeshiva Das. He said, I can't answer halachic shailas appropriately, he says. Because why? Because my mind is still so attached. The tsar and the pain that I'm going through, I have not yet settled down. I don't have Yeshiva Das with to properly concentrate. That's what he writes when he lost his wife, Liba. As a matter of fact, if you go in the Bezachayim in Prague, you'll see two Matsevis. One is his Rebbetzin, Liba, and right next to it is his own Matsevis, Matsevis the Rebbe. But you see something, you stand out and you see something which is very, very clearly, you see there's something which stands out, and that is, his wife's Matsevis is very tall, his Matsevis is very low. Quite simple. His wife is Nifter before him, so he was the one who secured his wife's Matsevis. He saw to build his wife's Matsevis, have his wife's Matsevis erected. Felt all the schus of his own Torah, everything that he has is due to his wife. He credits his wife. She deserves a tall Matsevis. He left the Farish and saw his own Matsevis. It should be very cheap and should not go into any great expense. All he wants is a very small Matsevis. And that's what they have. So what the Kehillah did subsequently, they give a small Matsevis, but then right next to it, there's a whole big thing talking about the Galus and the Abuda. So basically they complied, but less people should think that the Kehillah did not appreciate their role. So in addition to the little small Matsevis, they added something else as an aside, so you can read about the Galus of the Noidi Abuda. Anyway, comes the stock, and he asks a basic question. Let me say, Masechet Brachos, Rabbi Isai, is the first Masechet in Torah Shebal Peh. It's a Peledi Givort over here. Masechet Brachos is the first Masechet in Torah Shebal Peh. And what is it called? Masechet Brachos. The basic question is, why is it called Masechet Brachos? Anybody remembers, when you start learning Masechet Brachos, it deals with the halachas of Kriya Shema. Meim Masechet Koyen Shema Be'arvin, when is the right time? It also continuously discusses the halachas of Tefillah. You know when they discuss brachas? Brachas is when you come to Ketzet Mavarchim, you come to the sixth perek. Brachas is discussed, Ketzet Mavarchim, what type of brachas, huh? About the sixth perek. So why is it the Masechet Brachas is called brachas when the first half of the Masechet doesn't even talk about brachas? A Masechet usually is named according to the beginning. For example, Masechet Beyer. Beitzah Shinol the Beyontif. Guess what? The whole Masechet doesn't talk about a Beitzah. It's the first word. Beitzah Shinol the Beyontif. It's called Beitzah. Right, it says the Beyer. Masechet Brachos should be either called Masechet Kriya Shema. Masechet Brachos should either be called what? Masechet Tefillah. Why is it called Masechtas Brachos? Okay, that's the question. Let's take a look. Tam, al shikora Rabbeinu HaKadosh shema Masechtas Brachos. The reason that Rabbeinu HaKadosh referred to this Masechtas Brachos, shehoyel likroisa Masechtas Krishma Tfila. Shabahem, right? Dibber bibkrokim erishayim. These are the items that we discuss at Ketzer Mavarchim. Till the sixth parak, we don't talk about brachos. So he says, "V'ayim b'dvareinu b'psichoseinu." In other words, we discussed it already in the psicha, but now he wants to give another reason. Now the beauty of the slach wants to give another reason. Ukeis neron izdaiti. Lots of time shekor Hashem amasechta rishoyin the brachos. I'll tell you why. It's al derech shekosav hatoisus yontiv b'psichosoi. The toisus yontiv in the beginning of Mishnayis, you bring it down that the halachas gedolus. Rabbi said the halachas gedolus was in the according to many boys of Yidura Goyin, was before the rishoyin. The Hagdoma, the Alochis Gedolus, Rabbi Sai, what's the Hagdoma? Birchis HaTorah. His Hagdoma is Birchis HaTorah. Asher Baruch Rabbanu, Lasek B'divrei Torah, Birchis HaTorah. So the Tosfos Shamta brings out, points out, in the Psiche, Shebal Alochis Gedolus, Hetik B'tchila Sifrei, the Alochis Gedolus actually, he recorded in the beginning of his Sefer, in the Hagdoma, Birchis HaTorah, Mila B'mila. Why? What's the point? Why did Alos Gedolus in his Agdomin's introduction, all that he did basically is record Birchas HaTorah Mila B'Mila? So the Tosfos Yontif suggests, because he says, V'hoye Kavanosoi B'zeh, L'fi Sh'omru B'Mesechtes D'Dorim Da Pe'alef, the Gemara tells us that one of the reasons that brought the Churban Beis Hamikdash, which Avera, Shloi Baruch B'Toyer Tchila, because Yidden did not say Birchas HaTorah. It seems that not saying Birchas HaTorah is a Gevaldige Avla. It's a tremendous avla. So says the Gemara in the Dorim, Shalmo of the Ha'oretz, why was the land destroyed? Shadavar Zeh Pirusha Kodesh Baruch Hu Be'atzma, according to Gemara, Kodesh Baruch Hu himself revealed the reason. Shoroinish Hazeh, Ashle Baruch Hu B'Toyer Tchile. Oh, if lack of Birchas HaTorah can bring a Churban, so the Lachas Gedolus, before you start learning, recorded Birchas HaTorah, as if to say, don't make a mistake like those Jews way back then, hundreds of years ago. Because they, who didn't say Birchas HaTorah, they brought a Churban. So from now on, don't begin to learn any Torah. Any Torah, don't begin even one until you say Birchas HaTorah. So the Alochis Gedolus, so explains the Tosfos Yontif why the Alochis Gedolus records Birchas HaTorah. Again, Al Kain Kimazir, the Alochis Gedolus wants to warn you. He wants to warn you, Kosov al-Bal Alochis Gedolus HaBrochus, he writes Birchas HaTorah, Betchila Sifrei, Kedei, Shekola Pesach Lilmoid, Yovin LaShurai will clearly understand, Shetzorech Levarech Birchas HaTorah Tchila. Okay, that is the opinion of the Tosfos Yontif. The reason the Alochis Gedolus starts with Birchas HaTorah, because why? Because the lack of Birchas HaTorah could bring a Churban. And if you don't have the Beis Hamikdash, it could bring other Tzoros. It can bring other Kabbalah Gitzoros. So don't ever learn one word without saying first Birchas HaTorah in the morning. First thing in Birchas HaTorah. That's the suggestion of the Tosfos Yontif, why the Halachas Gedolus, first thing Birchas HaTorah. Because if you don't, terrible lynching can come. The Tzlach says, I have another reason. I have a totally different reason. I want to give my own reason why, again, the Halachas Gedolus started with Birchas HaTorah. And here it is, Rabbi Yisrael. V'noichi Yomer. Kavonis Habal Alochis Gedolus, but then why did he start with Birchas HaTorah? Lefi, what's the tachlis of learning? Well, we have just learned Ruach Chaim. The tachlis of learning is the what that you should retain, you should absorb. Right? That's the tachlis of learning. Tachlis of learning is not to go in one ear, go out the other ear. The tachlis of learning is to absorb. Lefi Sheikah, tachlis alimud hu, al menas sheyir advarim alevovoi lezikorin v'lo yishkechem. Because so of course the process of learning is to be able to retain it. If that's the case, here's the Rabbi say, this next line is the $1 million. Look at the next line. Volodati Birchas HaTorah his gulen niflosh lo yishkach ma she'ilmoid. I underline that. Zgula niflosh, not stam zgula. It says gulen niflosh. It's a gewaldige zgula. So if you're ever looking for a zgula, by the way, this is not the expense of chazari. You have to chazer. That's not an excuse. You have to review. But many times we review and we still forget, right? Obviously. So to have this special siyata d'shmaya, that you should be masliach in retaining whatever you're learning, say birchas HaTorah b'kavon, and he's going to explain why. He's not just stomp, he's not throwing out something. Birchas HaTorah, he says, is as gul and efloy. It's as gul and efloy shall yishkach ma'chilin. I once mentioned this in something that's out of the country somewhere, out of state actually. I mentioned this. And Yidin came over to me, about 100 Yidin said, that from now on, he says, at least for the first week, I say Birchas HaTorah with a different kavanah. He says, I don't know what happens after another month or so. But Kapodim, the morning after, he said it with kavanah. But listen, just heard the slach just now. That's as gul and efloy shall yishkach. How do I know that? With Smucha Shali, he said, Lizgula Lizu, Yimadibra Gemara Bimasechus Nadorim. This is the Gemara Mamish that Reb Chaim Volozhin just quoted. We learned the Reb Chaim. What did we just learn? Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Betchilo Hayim Moshe Loma Torah Umishacho. In the beginning, Moshe Rabbeinu was learning Torah and he used to forget. Ad Shinitnaloi Bimatone. Shineo Karapozik said, Vayitain El Moshe. Vayitein omoi, vayitein moshe kichaloi se ledaber. Vayitein means was given to me matone. The Torah was given me matone. So one thing we see from this Gemara, if the Torah was given me matone, you don't forget. That we see. Hare, what you see is, shimatoi vehi shalaloi meit, be matona, ene mishacho. Fine, let's stop for a moment. So one thing you see clear from the Gemara, if a Kodesh Baruch Hu gives the Torah be matone, you don't forget. That's what happened to Moshe. Moshe used to forget, achinitloi be matone. So the slach, now he says, our detective work, right? I said, our challenge is to figure out a way how we also can get the Torah b'matana. Look, if the Torah is given b'matana, you don't forget. That we say by Moshe Rabbeinu. Our challenge is to figure out a way how Kodesh Baruch Hu can give us also b'matana. Because once it's given b'matana, we don't forget. So the slach, I'll tell you. I'm going to reveal to you, says the slach, how you can, right? How you can be zoiche that Kodesh Baruch Hu gives you the Torah b'matana. And if that happens, you also won't forget. That's what it means. Moshe was given b'matana. All you need is the Torah to be given b'matana, you don't forget. That we see from the Gemara. So now, how can we entice our Kodesh Baruch Hu? How can we motivate, if we can use the Lashon Kodesh Baruch Hu, he should want to give us the Torah b'matana. What can we do that we should also receive the Torah b'matana? Now, according to B'chaim Volozhin, it's a different halach. He says, Anova. Remember B'chaim said, Anova. That was the B'chaim Volozhin state. The more onov you are, Moshe Rabbeinu is a gevaldig onov, you receive the matana. Okay? The stock goes on a different halach. A different halach. What's the secret? The secret is as follows. Stop your test. Listen to this Gemara. On our Rove. Let me just make a small hagdomah. Everybody might remember, you don't have to be a big bucky in Tehillim, but right away when you open the first capital, capital now you begin to say Tehillim. Right? Ashray Rish, right? Ashray Holam Batsas Rishoyim, right? With the Nagar Batsas Rishoyim, and it says, Vaites Bedech Atoim Lo Yomad, Bamoy Sivlesim Lo Yoshav, Ki'im. What does he do? What does he say after that? Betoyles Hashem Chefsoy, his chayfetz, his rosh, his toyes Hashem, and what's after that? Ubetoy rosso yehege yoyim avaloylo. Rabbi said, there's a contradiction in the pasuk right there. Why? The pasuk says, kim betoyes Hashem chefsoy. He wants to learn toyes Hashem, and then it says ubetoy rosso in his own toyra yehege yoyim avaloylo. So whose toyra is it? Is that Kodesh Baruch Hu's toyra? Is it toyes Hashem or is it toyra rosso? The Gemara asked that question, and what's the answer? So the Gemara said the following words. On our Rove, Bitchilo, in the beginning, Nikreis, the Torah is called Al-Shemoy Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or the Besayf, Nikra Al-Shemoy. Shenema, Betoyres Hashem, Chefsoy, first it's Toyres Hashem. Or Betoyres Soy, Yehege Yom Velodo. So what does it mean? What does Bitchilo mean? At first it's Toyres Hashem, Bitchilo, at the end it's Toyres Soy. Now the Stach says, Rashi says quite simply, Bitchilo means before you learn Torah, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. Before you learn Torah, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. Just because you bought a Gemara, you know, at any swarm store, it's not your Torah. When you begin to learn the Torah, then it's your Torah. Bitchilo says rather, it's Torah Hashem. That before you learn it. Once you learn, it becomes your Torah. That's how Rashi learns. Slach says, I have a different pshat. Look at the next paragraph. Ani Yomer. I see different pshat. What's pshat? Betchilo. Betchilo is Torah Hashem. At the end, it's Torah Soy. Ani Yomer Shei Shloim Kavod Acheres. Lakvon B'Divrei Rove. Ma'u Betchilo Ma'u Soif. What is Tchilo? What is Soif? Abimah Sheomru. He says, and it's based upon is based upon the Gemara said in the beginning of Kesef Melachim. Okay? When we start to begin to learn the sixth parak, the sixth parak Kesef Melachim, we have a famous kasha. Rav Levi Romi, Rav Levi asked us here. One pasuk says, Ksiv Lashem or Simloya, the entire world belongs to Kari Baruchu. Lashem or Simloya. Uksiv, right? And there's another pasuk, Shemaim, Shemaim Lashem. Shemaim, the heaven belongs to Kari Baruchu, but Oretz Nosan Liv Neyodom, but the land belongs to the people. So it's a theory. One posuk says, Lashem or Samloya. The earth belongs to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Another posuk says, V'oras Nosal Bnei Adam. So to whom does the land belong to? So what's your answer? Before you make a bracha, it belongs to Kadosh Baruch Hu. When you make a bracha, before you make a bracha on the apple, it becomes to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Once you make a bracha, it becomes to you. So Rabbi says the following, Loi Kasha, Kan Koyden Bracha. Before the bracha, nothing belongs to you, before you make a bracha. That is Lashem or Samloya. So what do you see from this Gemara? That once you make a bracha, belongs to you. Say the beauty, the same thing with Torah. Before you say Birchas HaTorah belongs to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kan Bitchila. Before you say Birchas HaTorah, not like Rashi learns. Kan Bitchila. Before you say Birchas HaTorah, say Kodesh Baruch Hu's Torah. But Kan LeBesoif. But once you already said Birchas HaTorah, the Torah becomes yours. Torah soy. Yehege yoimon v'loilo. So Mamel, let's take a look now. So al derech zeh, he says, ani mefarish divrei rova. I skipped a line. Memsech zedorim. Betchila pirish. Koyim shebir birchas haTorah nikras haTorah teres Hashem. Well, the besoif. But the Gemara says, lebesoif, it's your Torah. What lebesoif means? Han acha shebirach birchas haTorah zoyche ba'aliyah sheloi v'nikreis Torah soy. So now, Vine, Ba'oish lo zocha odem b'Torah, calls upon the person who was not zoich in the Torah, it should be his, Vadai hu shecheyach. He's not better than Moshe Rabbeinu, v'lo yodem b'Moshe, right? Not better than Moshe Rabbeinu, olav ha-sholem, shekoydim, shenit la-Torah, before the Torah was given to Moshe b'matana, ho yaloi b'nu m'shakho. Aber idei ha-brocha hu zoiche bo, v'koyne kinyin Torah liz nachshev v'shaloi, v'eino shecheyach m'skayim tamudu b'yodoi. That's why the halach is gedoilis. Because Birchas HaTorah before you learn, because the Torah wants to give you as a guru that whatever you're going to learn, you should remember. That's why he says, "Uma'ato zera yekavonas bal halachas gedolos shekosa Birchas HaTorah b'tchila sifrei." Why? Kedei shaloi medboi. Right? Because whoever learns the sefer halachas gedolos after you said Birchas HaTorah, yiskayim biyodoi lira bezikarin tamid. Now that answers the first question. What's the first question? Why is Masechta Brachos called Masechta Brachos? For a totally different reason. Rabbeinu HaKodesh calls Masechta Brachos, make Birchas HaTorah before you learn. Brachos means not Hilchos Brachos, pre-Oes, pre-Adomo, like the normal understanding. He calls it Masechta Brachos because if you're going to be learning, you're starting to learn Torah Shema Peh. Masechta Brachos is the opening, is the beginning of Torah Shema Peh. Rabbeinu HaKodesh wants to give you a Sgula. You're starting to learn. I want to give you a Sgula that you'll be able to remember what you learned. I want to give you a Sgula today. So the very first Masechta in Torah Shema Peh, he calls it Brachos Hashem Birchas HaTorah. So said Nabi, because if you're going to make Birchas HaTorah, he said you're going to have the Gevaldik Gezgula to remember what you learned. Okay, now boys, we have to stop over here, but let me just end with a Gevaldik Amaisa. Yeah, human beings forget, you know, Kodesh Baruch Hu does not forget though. So there's no Inyan Shikha, we say, Kein Shikha Lifnei Kisei Kivoydecho. So I want to mention that the great Goyen of Biskol Chonon, Biskol Spector was one of the greatest Paiskim of his time. And when he was Nifter, Rabbi Chana was Nifter, Rabbi Meir Simcha, by the way, was Nifter in 1926, earlier. Rabbi Chana was Nifter, Rabbi Meir Simcha, the Oy Sameach, was not able to make it to the Levaya. Was not able to make it to the funeral. So he asked some of the students who were there to tell him everything that took place at the Levaya. Fill me in with the Levaya. So it turns out the Talmidim were surprised. And Rameh Simch said, Bechlal, he says, I'm sure he said that the famous Magid, Rav Shlomo Magid, just using a name, I'm sure the famous Magid, Rav Shlomo Magid, did not speak at that Levaya. Rameh Simch was not there. So I'm sure he said that the famous Magid, Rav Shlomo Magid, will not speak at that Levaya. And the Talmidim were very surprised and said, yes, you're right, he didn't speak. But he was going to speak. So Rameh Simch smiled, he says, I knew that Hashem would arrange that he would not eulogize Rabbi Yitzchak Chonon. I'm just curious to know how it came about. What happened? So the student Talmidim related and said the following. There were many Tmaspidim over there. There are many, many maspidim. The crowd, mamish, you can imagine, you had hundreds and hundreds of people over there. And everybody was crushed against each other, right in the shul. It was extremely stuffy. With all the pushing and shoving, it was mamish impossible to hear what was being said. Up front, people in the back could not really hear. There was a crowd and a sea of people. And also, there were hundreds and maybe even thousands outside of the Bais Medrash. Outside, who also couldn't neither see nor hear what was going on. So it decided that in order for everybody to be able to hear, so the famous Magid, Shlomo Magid, he should be Masvid. Decided to be Masvid, Mr. Chodan, everybody would go outside and they're going to build a podium. Build a podium, he'll be standing on top of the podium. So everybody finally will hear the famous Magid. This will probably be a Gavaldi Hespit, or Mr. Chodan. So once outside, so the people who were in charge of all the funeral arrangements, so they realized that no platform would be high enough for Shlomo Magid to stand, be visible. So they began like to put table on top of table. Table on top of table, to make it as high as possible. Shlomo Magid should be there. So the Maaseh, the Magid, he climbed up on the improvised platform, gets up over there, and people began pressing, to be able to hear a little better, and you can imagine what happened before he was able to utter a sound, right? A sound, right? The crush of the crowd caused the makeshift platform, mamish, it toppled. And there was yelling, stop the shoving, it was a little bit too late, everything crushed. The Magid, the Maaseh, fell down, fell off the height of the platform. He fell onto the ground, he was bruised and he was hurt, and he felt, he was hurt both physically and emotionally. He was no condition to deliver a hesped. Could not, was not able to say a hesped. And so the Talmidim turned out to Meir Simcha, Rebbe, you were not there. But how did you know? I mean, he was ready to speak. How did you know that he did not speak? So he said, I'll tell you why. Hashem doesn't forget anything. Hashem does not forget anything. More than 20 years ago, said Rav Meir Simcha, the same Magid was involved in a Din Torah. More than 20 years ago, the same Magid was involved in a Din Torah. The Rav who issued the Psak was none other than Rav Yitzchak Elchanan. He was the Dayan. And he ruled against the Magid. And the Magid was very upset and was very incensed. So you know what he said to Rav Yitzchak Elchanan? He says, when Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan dies, I won't be masperim. So Rabbi Simcha, guess what? That's what Hashem talked about. He didn't give him the opportunity to be masperim. Hashem did not forget what he said. So I knew, he says, he will not be able to be masperim.